The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. Welcome to my show, my weekly podcast, where I come here each week to discuss all things related to health and happiness, how to be a modern human being, get up in the morning, go about your day, not have to separate yourself and leave your family and go, you know, live on a freaking mountaintop, but how to be engaged in the lives that we live, but do it better. That's my goal here. Hopefully you'll find it successful. I have a lot of people who come here every week as a reminder to keep them checked in balance, keep themselves aware in the moment or more moments, that is, of the life they want to live and help them to get there, you know, closer every day, right? It's a process and a practice, as I always say. This is not a, This is the opposite of any sort of quick fix model. This is not a just do what I tell you for 21 days and by gum, you're going to get a super huge result. Oh, you want to know if it's going to stay long term? Oh, I don't know. I don't. It just stick with me for 21 days and you're going to see a huge result. Oh, you want to know if you're going to keep the weight off forever? Oh, I don't. If you just stick with me for 21 days, you're just going to, this is what, will you buy my containers? Will you guys buy my pretty container for the measuring, the counting, and the weighing of the protein? If I lost you, I'm sorry about that. Hopefully you'll go right over to the Joe Rogan podcast and just resume your day there. But for those of you who stuck with me just through that first catastrophe, I'm glad you're here, you guys. And if you're just joining me for the first time, yeah, there's nothing atypical about this episode at all. This is as weird as it gets. It's what it is. It's, dare I say, nutty nut nut. Do I think it's kind of fun to, or can it be fun to live better? Yeah, I do. I think that bringing more fun into our lives is probably something we are designed to do. If you look back, I mentioned it a few episodes ago, but the Kung tribe, but what they do in their free time, they're a, you know, one of the last true hunter-gatherer kinds of societies. They play games, they socialize, they have fun. And we, you know, we get into the world every day and we've got responsibilities and obligations, and sometimes fun gets put on the back burner. And so that's why I come here, to teach you maybe how to bring more fun and maybe make this podcast fun to listen to. I don't know. I don't know if it is. I'm just saying I'm trying, right? So I am a certified nutritionist, author of Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, two-day-a-week YouTuber, and probably going to be up in that at some point unless I end up starting to write my new book, in which case I don't know what's going to happen there. I might go back down to one day a week. I don't know. I got to figure it out. One thing I do teach all clients that I work with is that any step you bring into your life is always done in the context of your entire life. So unlike quick fixes or diets where you start it and you don't think, is this something I can do forever? Because you think, I just got to get through 21 days and I'm going to move and shove around a whole bunch of stuff and maybe put my family on the back burner and maybe put my any sort of social engagements on the back burner because I got to get power through this 21-day thing and utilize all the willpower I have until the tank is freaking dry. Well, small steppers don't do that. Small steppers go, okay, I'm gonna bring in a step of deep breath, but I gotta figure, okay, so what are we talking about here? Well, I get up in the morning, I got kids, so I gotta put them, gotta get their lunches done and carpool to work, and then I gotta, you know, to them for school, and then I gotta go to work, and then I just in the meetings and everything else, I come home, and I got, and all of a sudden your day is filled, and you go, okay, well, because of that, I'm going to do 3 deep breaths because that I can handle without having to make huge concessions and huge arrangements and huge adjustments that are going to stress me out. I'm just going to start with something that I can just do in the context of my life. That's what this is. And that's because that's how I see this being long term, is because you learn how to do that better if you listen to me for crying out loud. If you listen to me, you learn how to do it better. And you start somewhere, and then you build from there, and eventually the 3 breaths down the line becomes 25 minutes of meditation. I don't know. There's no rules about this. It's about your freaking life. It's about your life, okay? Woo! All right, you guys, good luck and welcome and good night and goodbye. I'm all over the place. Here's what's happening. It's a Sunday, okay? And I'm glad it's Sunday because this is my fun day. And it's the day that I don't have to run day. And so what I have found is that when I do it on Sunday, sometimes during the day, it's a different kind of thing than when I come home. Usually what I do, come home from work after a long day of work on Mondays and do it. And so I got to, you know, it's just a different kind of thing. That's what Sundays are. Sundays are a little just more manic and weird. Why am I doing it Sunday? Here's why. Because this is, I'm going to regret the crap out of this. I already know I'm going to regret it. Is I am watching the debates. If you're not in the United States, which many of you are not in the United States, then you may or may not know, and it's I hope you don't know. But there we have the first of the presidential debates on Monday, and if you're listening to this in like 2021, totally irrelevant. But it's what's happening, so I thought, well, maybe I'll give that a shot once. If you guys are longtime listeners, you know that I'm have an ambivalent nature about news and looking at it and listening to it at all. I think being informed is fine. I do. But I think that, you know, we could spend 95% less time on news and still be just as informed and not have to listen to a bunch of jackasses, crazy opinions about stuff and predictions that they have no idea really what's going to happen. But that's neither here nor there. That's why I'm doing it Sunday. I will still post this the usual time and you'll see that. Good. Okay. I did launch a meal plan system with Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete. It's called Health Made Simple. So I'm just pitching that every week because it's very cool. And I think it's helping a lot of people to do what? To learn how to follow a meal plan? No, actually to learn how to not follow a meal plan. Here's one thing I wish, and I don't want anybody to just do what I do because I do it. That's just always been against my ethic. I don't want, well, what's Sid doing? I'll do that too. That's not. You may end up doing something that looks like what I do because you got there yourself. Fine, good on you. That's in your head, and that's where it should be. Okay, but I do wish for people that they could eat as simply as I do most weeks. I eat very simply. People have a lot of perceptions about me, or like, you know, you must spend a lot of time in the kitchen, my wife and me. Oh, you guys must think about food a lot. Couldn't be farther from the truth. I barely ever think about food. I mean, ever. I don't measure, count, or weigh anything, period. I try to work with my clients. And by the way, if you go to SidGarzaHillman.com, you can find out all about that and get a free chapter of my book by putting your email address in there and all that kind of crap. But they ask about that because they have that perception. I'm trying to get clients off that stuff. I'm trying to get them up to a point where they are eating so simply most of the time and so nutritionally sound most of the time that when they go off on something like out to dinner or whatever, they just don't give a crap. It's no big deal. They don't sweat it. It's dial in a most of the time that is so good and you like it and it tastes great and it's so easy and it takes no time at all because you're used to it and you eat kind of the same things week to week and got it dialed in. And then you just don't have to think about it. And it's easy and you have so much more time to do other stuff that you might like to do. And you still aren't locking yourself out from totally enjoying food when appropriate. When it's, you know, you're out with friends and family and at a party and out to dinner and whatever, you know, on those special kinds of one-off type things that happen now and then you're not going to sweat it. You're not going to sweat it because you're feeling awesome and all you're running on all cylinders. Okay? I think cylinders are like in cars or something as far as I know. I hire people to do that kind of work for me. I don't get my hands dirty. Okay, nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. That's where you find out about Health Made Simple. That was a very long-winded way of talking about that. But anyway, it's a meal plan system. And through our live Q&As and support literature, we're helping people use a plan to get past a plan. And that's what it is. You use a plan to, okay, this is how, oh, this can be easy. Let me try this again. Oh, these recipes, okay, I got these good set of recipes that I dig. Okay, I'm just going to stick with these. And now I got it dialed in. I know how to shop for them, prep for them, cook for them. Done. Mostly what this podcast is dedicated to, I'll put it this way, is sponsored by you. It's brought to you by you. I'm bringing this podcast to you because of you guys, and it's not just the donations, which I'm getting much more for some reason, and I hope it's because you like what I do. That would be amazing. I hope my mother is not like calling all of you personally and going, you know, my son, if you could donate to the podcast, I would very much appreciate. Lot less chance of him borrowing money from me. And that is an eerily close impression of my mother, by the way. But if you guys donate, thank you for that. But if you also leave reviews and ratings on iTunes, digging on you too. Okay, I work at the Stanford Inn, stanfordinn.com. And I wanted to mention, because I definitely mentioned it when it came out in February, but the Stanford and Jeff and Jill put out an awesome cookbook called Dining at the Ravens. There's a little piece on there in there written by me. And so that's cool. Dining at the Ravens, 150 nourishing recipes from the Stanford and by the Sea. Very great cookbook, getting really good reviews and selling well. We just found out the sales from the publisher. And super good. They're the same publishers, by the way, as did the China study. So you're not talking rinky dink, okay? And the other cool thing is that Joan Stanford is a registered art therapist, and she put out a book recently in June called The Art of Play, and it's also doing really well and just super good. It's a great book, and she's an art therapist, so she's working through showing you sort of the process and her process, and there's a lot of art in the book. That's what's cool about it. A lot of collages and paintings and all sorts of stuff that she created, poems that she wrote, but also talking about the process itself. So that's been awesome too. So if you guys want to Google that, I'll put links in the show notes, but they're on Amazon and bookstores and everything. Anyway, Dining at the Ravens and The Art of Play. Okay, so dig this. So we're like building, there's like an arsenal of authors at the Stanford Inn. There's like a little table with our books on it. Is that weird? No, it's not weird. Okay, good. If you're wondering, in just a mere smattering of weeks, I will be at the World Veg Fest October 9th speaking there, the Atlanta Veg Fest November 12th, and running the North Face 50K December 3rd. And then I already have one booked for Marshall, Texas in March, end of March, beginning of April, March 31st through April 2nd, 2017, Marshall, Texas Health Fest. I think it's healthfest.com. So that's the kind of the announcey thing. Social media, Sid Garza-Hillman. Whoopty frickin' do. My three favorites, YouTube, number one favorite, period, done. Just search on me YouTube and just subscribe. Okay? No, just it's like YouTube's at the top, and then 1,000 places down would be Instagram, and then 1 billion places down would be Facebook and Twitter. So that's what I love YouTube, and I kind of like Instagram, and then just Facebook and Twitter. Okay? Good. Travel mug of seed coffee. Did I mention? Here's why I'm confused if I mentioned this, because I was shooting a little bit of the video of me getting rolling for this podcast and made a joke about how I'm now drinking this seed extract coffee in a travel mug. So the travel mug is keeping a really bad tasting coffee hotter longer. So that's why you're hearing that. By the way, last time, I had a cup of tea when I did the podcast, which is fine. And if you're just joining me, I will often talk about what I'm drinking for literally no reason, and probably because nobody wants to hear about it. And it's just what it is. Okay. So just, can you let me have a little bit of fun? Can I just do this? Okay, good. And so I had the Celestial Seasonings blueberry tea or whatever. And then on the video I did, I think it's the Just Be Yourself video, that I posted a few days ago, I'm drinking that again. And one person commented, and he's like, I hate to be this guy, but Celestial Seasonings like doesn't make the mark with regards to like pesticides and herbicides, like when they get tested. Now, first of all, I will like this guy. I already know, because he said, I hate to be this guy. And I'm totally the same way, but I'm so glad that he mentioned it, right? So I was just like, I just guarantee I'd get along with him. I ever met him personally, I would be like, yeah, we're good. We're good here, because he said, I hate to be this guy, but I'm just going to... And so he basically played the me, not me game. And he was like, I kind of not me, but I sort of want to let you know. So I did a little research on it. Sure enough, Jiminy Christmas. So, you know, and so now this week I'm doing the seed coffee and I'm looking for alternative teas. Gosh, it's like everything is ruined. We ruin stuff. It's not... Mother Nature didn't grow stuff and go, you know what, let me include some pesticides and herbicides on this stuff, because that's going to help. And one of the things that's really interesting, and I think you guys, if you are interested, go back and listen to my episode with, two episodes with Dana Eckelberger, who's a master gardener, and also Matt Druno, who runs the Stanford Inn's Biointensive Research Garden. And both will tell you that this whole idea of sort of the conventional wisdom around things like GMO, but also herbicides and pesticides, are that they are necessary to increase the yield that is necessary to feed our species. And it's just not true. The biointensive research gardens are growing 5 to 10 times even what regular organic farming is yielding. I mean, that's what they're not only blowing away conventional agriculture, they're blowing away traditional organic agriculture. It's freaking mind-blower. In these little spaces, they're just kicking food out of the dirt, and they're growing soil in the process. They're actually taking care to make their own compost and make sure the bacterial load in the soil is effective and the way that it's designed to be, so that the plants are more hardy and the plants are stronger and they're more nutritious. And it's just like a total mind blower. And it's totally throwing over its on its head all this idea of like, well, we just need that stuff because we got to grow a bunch of food. We don't. So then when I go, then I just want a freaking cup of blueberry tea, and I got to just find out that it has nutty nut nut in it. And I don't mean good nutty nut nut. You guys know that sometimes I say nutty nut nut, it's a good thing, and then sometimes it's a bad thing, right? Mm. So I mentioned Laura Albert the other day, and she's that author. There's that documentary called Author. It's by the same director that did the Devil and Daniel Johnston, which is a great documentary if you guys ever check it out. But anyway, so he did this new documentary on Laura Albert. And I was talking about it, I can't remember, last week or the week before, because I quoted her, because in this podcast I heard her on, she says, you know, you wake up in the morning and you choose either fear or faith. And I thought that was a good saying, so I quoted her and everything. Anyway, so I ended up talking to her this week. I told you guys I knew her from before, but she was talking to Jeff Stanford, and I walked by, and he said, oh, Sid's here. And she goes, hey, Sid. And so we had this nice conversation. And so anyway, so I might have her on, because she's oh, I want to be on your podcast. And so she's nutty nut nut in a good way. That's the reason I brought up nutty nut nut, because of course I hear nutty nut nut and I think Laura Albert. I mean, honestly, I think myself and Laura Albert. But if you guys get a chance to see that documentary, I have watched part of it. I have a screening link, so I'm checking it out. But anyway, it's like a totally mind blowing story. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. All right, here we go. So back to kind of the nitty-gritty. I've been giving you guys the heads up, the checking in on the Wim Hof thing that I'm doing. Again, to be clear, I'm not endorsing it at all. I'm not connected to it financially at all, zero, period, zero. And I'm not telling my clients to try it. It is interesting to me, and it's freaking working for me, but I'm just not there yet. I'm in week five now, squarely in week five. Which includes a 10-minute cold shower. And I'm talking about you go to fully cold and you go in fully cold. You don't go in like warm and then gradually bring it down. Like, you go in cold. So here's what happened. I did that and I had this experience. So far with the cold showers, I've been feeling cold, but as I said last week, I don't do the crazy breathing. Like I'm able to control my breath and it feels cold, but it's not like making me breathe that way. I'm doing this sort of controlled breathing. I'm fine. And it's fine. But this last 10-minute cold shower I took, which was 2 days ago, I got in, and in my core, my sort of chest and back, the water was hitting me and I wasn't feeling cold. Like, I actually wasn't feeling the sensation of cold. That was kind of a mind blower. So that's sort of weird. My hands still definitely feeling cold, my extremities, feet. But he talks about how your core, kind of the vein, vascular system sort of shuts down to inhibit blood flow so that the blood doesn't get cooled from what's going on the surface. And so your body learns or relearns, as the case may be. Remember, approaching the natural, sort of getting back to what's more natural. This is something that we're equipped with already, but we disable that because we're always within a 5-degree freaking, you know, temperature range. You know, like if it gets a little too hot, we throw on the AC, and if it gets a little too cool, we throw on the heater, right? But this is training you how to do that. So it's very interesting. I'm sitting there in a cold shower, and I'm like, I don't feel the cold. It's like I'm totally comfortable here. And when I would move the water over to my hands, I would feel the cold and it's fine. But it was like such a mind blower, because I got to be honest, I've been dreading the 10-minute cold shower week. Like, when I saw that was coming up, I was like, oh, for the love of all that's holy, this is going to be freaking miserable. And the first day, little miserable, not bad. Again, controlled breathing, but it got, you know, got the second day just like, whoa, okay, I got it. It's just boring to stand in a shower for 10 minutes, but that's other than that, you know? Okay. Related to that, and I wanted to mention this too, because I've never really weighed in on the whole water thing in this podcast. Maybe I've touched on it, but like maybe years ago, I can say that now because I've done 3 years. Years ago, and so the assumption is that I think with most nutritionists, like, drink 8 ounces of water 8 times a day, like every wild animal who measures out 8 ounces of water. Here's my take on water. I don't think that it's standard. I get that the government has to make certain, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, who weighs in on diet. That makes sense. But I think it makes sense to sort of make a blanket statement because there's hundreds of millions of us, and we can't say like, well, okay, well, we're going to make an individual recommendation for every citizen. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, as you guys and I get to know more and learn more and sort of think about things hopefully in a different way, because that's my goal here, is to teach you guys how to think about things in a different way, you sort of go, well, wait a second, that doesn't really make sense that you know, Sid as a 6'1", 175-pound man should drink this, who runs, you know, 30, 40 miles a week, should drink the exact same amount of water as a 5'2" person who is, you know, 100 pounds and does no exercise, or somebody who is obese. And, you know, there's like a whole, I mean, there's a whole range of body size, activity size, diet. So if you're eating fast food or most packaged food, you're eating a ton of salt. I don't eat a ton of salt. So the idea of like, if you eat a ton of salt, you're going to probably want to drink more water just to kind of keep the balance a little bit more in check. So long story short, this wasn't even a story. And so in conclusion, I have been drinking more water recently for a couple reasons. One, my running has gone up. Okay, my mileage is creeping up because of the training. So done, got it, done. Okay. Number two, as this Wim Hof program is progressing, one of the things that's happening in the body due to the cold therapy more than the breathing part of it is that the growing of the brown fat, building of the brown adipose tissue, they call it, but anyway, brown fat. And what brown fat does is, like I said, I think last week, is it uses the other fat in our body to produce energy. And when your body uses fat for energy, there's a release of potentially things that are stored in fat, like toxins. Got it? The reason why animal foods, by the way, tend to be like fish, for instance, high in toxins and, you know, PCBs, mercury, all those things are stored in fat. That's the body sort of like, we don't want it flowing around. Let's store it in fat. It's a storage area. And when you utilize those fat cells, those things can be released into the bloodstream. It's a fact. So Wim Hof, during the thing, he's like, you might want to drink more water because as you progress through this thing, you know, there could be some detoxification. More detoxification than typically happens day to day. I'm also doing more activity via this because there's yoga and I'm doing my integrated exercise and still doing the running. So I am also just on a very pure level, like moving my body more and so expending more energy. So anyway, I've been upping my water and it's really been making a difference. But see, I got to tell you, so this is the thing I think about water. Drinking water to me is a little less important than eating water. Well, I'll put it this way. It's equally as important as eating, easily equally. Okay, not more, not less, but equally. In other words, it's this. I do think we need to hydrate ourselves. Why? Because I'm not a freaking idiot. Duh. Of course we need to hydrate ourselves. But I think that most people don't think about the fact that some water and a significant portion of that water can come from the food that we eat as well. So if I'm eating 10 to 15 bananas, you have to understand that's a ton of water that I'm getting via the food that I'm eating. I eat, you know, two heads of lettuce a day, that's a ton of water. So I don't necessarily have to be drinking as much water as somebody else who is eating not a lot of fruits and vegetables that are full of water. I mean, think broccoli is like 90% water, and that seems not very dense in water, you know, when you're holding it, but it's mostly water. So when you eat fresh fruits and vegetables, you are also hydrating. It's something to think about, just to consider that you may not need, I'm not making a recommendation, so don't freaking know, but you said. But if you're eating a ton of fruits and vegetables, you may not have to be guzzling water. In fact, a lot of the stuff, it says, you know, sometimes people are drinking too much water, especially when they exercise. So anyway, it's just something to be said. I did a 11 mile run, trail run, yesterday. Really good. I wasn't Sid and Bree. Sid was, I don't know what she's doing. She has something to do with a horse. And Bree was not doing an 11 mile trail run that day. And so, but she's been kicking ass, by the way. Started today, she looks great. Her mileage is creeping back up. She was a little bit hurt, and now she's doing yoga. Like, she's really spreading things out. It's very cool. So good. All right. Still tastes bad. Amazing. After 25 minutes. And so 11-mile trail run. And I got to tell you, like, the night before, didn't have dinner. And here's what happened. So again, coming sort of revisiting the routine episode from last week is, my routine on Fridays is I work at the inn and I stay late. And I stay late because I walk around and talk to guests and I'm like, hey, I run the wellness center and, you know, help direct the kitchen. How's it going? You having a good time? You know, that kind of just talking to guests. I love it. It's super fun. I do it a couple nights a week. But I usually eat dinner at the inn those nights and I wasn't hungry. And I just wasn't hungry. And usually my routine is like, oh, get food because that's when they serve it to the staff. And so I just get that kind of food and just didn't do it. I just didn't want it. And so I did not eat dinner. It was very interesting to see what would happen the next day when I ran that morning. So I hadn't eaten since lunch. So when I get up Saturday morning at 6:30, I haven't eaten since lunch the day before and had no dinner, just water. And so I got up and on the way down had one banana and ran a freaking nice trail run and did totally fine and finished up and ate a couple bananas afterwards. And it was like, went on my freaking day. I mean, it's very cool that I'm seeing this happen again, not making a recommendation. I'm just saying for me, I'm playing with eating a little bit more on this day and eating less at this time and kind of mixing things up, but I'm not really, maybe a little bit calorically restricting because I just want to see like, can I get by on a lot less? Yeah, I can. You know, it's for some reason, like I think I've been eating in a way too much and I'm not overweight, but I just think my energy levels are reflecting in a more positive way, my eating less or at least skipping certain meal times because I'm just not freaking hungry and I just don't want to eat because it's a routine. I'd rather eat when I'm actually hungry. Now, after the 11-mile trail run, I was like, well, I had my two bananas, then I had a bagel or something crazy, like or toast. I had whole spelt toast and with peanut butter on it. And so I was like, I bet I could go the whole day without eating until dinner because I'm probably not going to be hungry. Well, 2 o'clock rolled around and I was freaking ravenous. And, you know, so I ate. Anyway, so that was like on an 11-mile trail run. I was really feeling it. And so there it was. But I'm listening better to my actual body and sort of going in a real way, you know, not nothing. And I tested myself on the food thing. I wasn't like, am I craving something? And I was like, no, I'm just hungry. Like I didn't have a picture of like, I'm hungry because I'm craving an exact burrito the way that it's pictured in my mind. No, that's usually not hunger at all. And I've talked about hunger before. A lot of the things we interpret as hunger are not true hunger. We're not starving in the modern world, most of us, okay? We could get by with missing meals. But what about the metabolism? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. In fact, I just had a really good conversation with a guy named Ray Cronise. We talked for an hour and a half on the phone. I'm thinking about having him on the podcast. And he's done some really exciting work about the metabolism, sort of just the whole myth about that, like speeding up your metabolism, eating multiple times per day. Like it's just not only is it not necessary, it's not a good thing. Like we're just overnourishing. We're just feeding our faces just all day. And it's hard on the body. It's actually stressful on the body. So that's just part and parcel of kind of what I'm doing. And I'm talking to him going, okay, that's why this is happening for me and making sense in my own life physically. It feels better to do what I'm doing. And so I'm sticking with it. If I feel lethargic in my runs and don't have the energy, guess what I'm gonna do? Freaking eat more. That's how that goes. Okay. Got it? I'm trying not to be angry at you guys, but still, I mean, the gall that you have to disagree with me is crazy. One thing I, you know, want to make sure is that you agree with me. I don't want people disagreeing. I don't want you thinking for yourselves. It's a very, very dangerous when people think for themselves. Okay, the last thing I want is for all of you guys to think for yourselves. I want you to follow me blindly, do what I tell you to do, follow me like a guru, and send me a lot of money. I mean, just in like a dangerous amounts of money. I mean, your family should be worried about the money that you send me because you think you have to because I'm telling you exactly what to do every day, and you're afraid that if you don't, you know, take a second mortgage on your house, that somehow you're not going to get my wonderful wisdom that only I know. Okay, that's the Approach to the Natural podcast in a nutshell. Okay, got it. All right. On a very practical level, this is the thing. If you are maintaining or working from an actual steps list, okay, if you're just joining me, the work that I do is helping people through this podcast, but also private clients, actually build a physical steps list. It is looking at your life, saying, or not looking at your life, looking at your, crafting your ideal life, okay? The first task, I call it, the life you actually want to live, okay? And you, I always have you write it as if it's happening now, okay? So you don't go like, I'm gonna be at a healthy weight. You say, I'm at healthy weight, and you kind of craft that ideal life. And then based on that, you say, okay, well, now I'm gonna step into that. So in my first task, I would say I play music, okay? Because I used to be a full-time musician, and I, for years, didn't. And so in my first task, I would say, I play music. And so then I go, okay, well, in the context of my life, like I mentioned earlier, in the context of my life, what am I able to actually pull off musically? What am I able to do? Well, for me, on my actual steps list is play music one day a week. For I don't even have a time on it. So sometimes it's literally 2 minutes. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Doesn't really matter. But the idea is this, that you sort of, that's how you craft your steps list. What I want to mention this week on a very practical level is this sort of opening the floodgates that can kind of happen with building and maintaining and just trying out a steps list. The floodgates can open, and here's why. Because once you take any step, once you go in your first task, I'm at a healthy weight. And so then in your steps list, you go, one morning a week, I eat fresh fruit. One morning a week, I eat fresh fruit. Now, that's on your steps list. Never before, maybe, you've never eaten fresh fruit for breakfast. Never. It's just so foreign to you, weird. But because you're only doing it one day a week, you go, okay, no problem. So you just do that, and you have five or six pieces of fruit because you know, that's what you do. And you're eating less calorically concentrated food, so you want to eat a bigger bulk, but not more calories, just what that is. Less calories than your fried eggs and bacon, I'll put it that way, that look a lot smaller on the plate. Dig? Good. Go watch my YouTube video about caloric concentration. Okay, back to this. You put this fruit-only day, fruit-only breakfast, and you do it Monday morning, and you go, I have fruit, and you feel good. And you feel good not because fruit one morning a week is going to change your health overnight, because it's not. And it's not because you look down and go, my gosh, Sid's amazing. I lost 15 pounds in 4 days. And I hear dial 1-800 and get it for $29.95 3 days a week. You feel good because you took a step that is getting you closer to the life you want to live. That's why you feel good. And you get high off that. It feels good because you're taking control of your life. You're saying, this is my terms now. You're saying, this is the life I want to live. I understand it's a long-term practice to make this closer than it is now. I got that. So I'm going to start with this. And the fact that I'm only starting with this is amazing because I'm treating myself really well by not stressing myself out in the process. And I'm showing myself that I actually can pull something off in this regard, that I'm not even like, I can never do that. It's so stressful to think about changing that hue, because it's not a big change. And you feel good. It feels right. The problem, not problem, the reality that can arise is that then you go, okay, gang freaking on now. This feels, you get this sense of like, oh, this feels good. Like, this feels good. Again, maybe physically it felt good to have fresh fruit that day. I don't know. But what I'm talking about is in your brain. You go, I got strength. I got what it takes to make a change because I just freaking pulled this off. I didn't do nothing. I did something. Remember the whole series of like, yeah, but I'm doing something about it. Well, now you're doing something. What does that feel like? That feels powerful and strong, and it just feels like positive and just awesome. And you kind of think about it at other times of your day that you were able to pull this thing off. And the tendency is to say, well, if that feels good, then it only makes sense that if I do now 30 other steps, that I'll feel 30 times better. And that's a common mistake in my work, is that I'm oftentimes reining people in. And it's a weird thing for me as a health coach, because I want people to get as healthy and happy as fast as possible. I did a whole episode on it, as fast as possible, and I am. And sometimes I'm doing that by reining them back in and showing them that sometimes it's appropriate, given the entirety of your life and the context of your life, not to do anymore. Maybe you stay with that one step that is fresh fruit one day a week, because doing five more different steps is going to make you quit the whole shebang. And that's you doing nothing about your life. So it's not that you have to stop doing stuff, or that you shouldn't take on a whole bunch more steps. Maybe your life is such that, well, that felt great. I can do five more steps of different things and no problem. Maybe that's you. I just want you to ask the question. I just want you to know for sure before you dump 10 more steps on that list and then get discouraged because you took on too much. Good night diet, because that's what that is. It's too much too soon, and you burn out. And I don't want you to burn out. Worst case scenario is small steppers know this fact, don't we? We know that if we did take on too much, that we can just back it back down, and that's making it even more successful. Less is more, fully in the small steps world. Less is freaking more. I'm going to take those steps back off. I'm going to come back down to one morning a week where I have fruit, and then I'm going to ease my way back in with an additional step of one deep breath in the morning. Okay, that's good. That's good, okay? But if you're new to this process, you could get burnt out and discouraged and feel like you're a failure because you took on too much, because you had that feeling, that little glimpse of what it's like to live the life you want to live and feel the self-esteem and self-confidence that comes with this process. And you want to feel more of that. I get it because I'm in the same boat. That's why diets and quick fixes are successful financially, not long-term in terms of your life, but they're very successful financially because people are wanting that high that we get from feeling like we're making changes. And so I want you to feel that high too. I just don't want you to get so high that you burn out and then you have withdrawals. I took it right to the drug world. Just get so high that you burn out and then you have withdrawals because you're doing nothing. Got it? Okay, good. All right, you guys, moving on. Okay, this is called the What If series, okay? And I'm going to do it one time. And so I call it a series because it implies that it's going to be multiple times. So it's the what if one-off, okay? Just try this on for size while you're on your treadmill right there, while you're running through the trails of Saskatchewan, or while you're in the car, okay? And that's, by the way, I love the BMW 530i. That's a fantastic car. Yours is really, really cool, that kind of bluish thing from 1987. Is that what that is? That's a really good job. Nice. I'm glad to see that still running. Here we go. What if? Ready? What if tomorrow you got out of bed? You had a really nice sleep, by the way. You got out of bed. You got up. You walked into your kitchen. You made a cup of tea. You poured a liter of water and you drank that. You had a nice cup of tea. You went over and you got a bunch of fruit. You got about 3 apples and you got a couple bananas and some strawberries and some pears. And maybe it turned out to be 5 or 6 total pieces. And you cut them up maybe, or you just ate them whole. Doesn't matter. You put them in a bowl and you eat them and it feels good. It tastes good because you like fresh fruit. That's awesome. And that's decent. And you take a few more pieces of fruit with you in the car because you're going to work and you drive to work. And on the way to work, you're not listening to the news. You're listening to a podcast that makes you laugh or funny or something that's, you know, helps your life move forward. And you're listening to that podcast there in that car, or some music, classical music or music that you love and gets you, feels good. It sounds good. It's awesome. And you get to work and you had a good night's sleep and you just ate something really good for breakfast. So you're not that stressed when you get into work. You're actually feeling pretty good. Physically, you're not irritable. And then for lunch, you stop for lunch. You have those fruit, by the way, in the car, maybe one more at your desk. And then for lunch, you stop and you go into your bag because you pack this too, and you get some hummus and some veggies and maybe a veggie sandwich, or maybe you go out to lunch and you have a big salad at a salad bar, and you throw some balsamic vinegar on that, and it's a really good salad. It's packed and it's big. It looks big. It's not calorically big, but it's really big and you're full. And again, you're totally nourishing yourself. And maybe you have some whole grain toast with that salad, or you sprinkle some nuts and seeds, sunflower seeds on top of there or something. And then in the afternoon, you hang out and you have a cup of coffee maybe because you like coffee. And then you come home and maybe you have another snack in the afternoon, some cut celery and carrots at your desk. You're just snacking away on those because you don't have to worry about quantity. You're just eating. No worries, right? Maybe some salsa. And you come home and you have some whole grain pasta with marinara sauce, or you have a big freaking salad like I have with some cashew ranch on it, some baked potato, sweet potato. You eat till you're full, feeling really good. And you watch a fun movie, you hang out with your spouse or partner, and you really listen to music and you just hang out and you don't do anything else. You just enjoy their company, or you Skype with a family member that's out of town, and you reconnect with them. And then you go to bed and you wake up and you kind of do a similar thing that next day. And maybe the next day you get up and you also take a run in the morning, or you just a 30-minute walk, or maybe at lunch before you go to salad bar, you take a 15-minute walk and just kind of walk around that day. And maybe you go for a run on the weekends a little longer because it's fun, not because you're stressed about, I got to get my exercise in, because you know that it's about 99% about what you put in your body, not how you move your body. And so you're not really worried. You're just looking for something that's fun. Maybe you go to a yoga class or a martial arts class, or you go on a trail run, or you go on a bike ride, a spin class, or you do some, you know, light weight training, or some just anything that you dance around your living room. That's what you do for fun. And maybe you do that when you get home for 10 minutes. You dance while your pasta water's heat is boiling. You just dance around the living room and you move your body that way. And the question is, what if that were to happen? Is that close to what you do during the day, or fully different from what you do during the day, or we're somewhere in between? But what if that was what you did? What if that was a reality for you most days? And most days when you were you, when you had that time for yourself in the car, and when you had that time for yourself in the morning, and you had that time for yourself at lunch, maybe you did things that were a little more nourishing mentally and physically for yourself. Maybe you just kind of edged over a little bit more into that world more often than not. And maybe sometimes you listen to the news on the way and you get stressed about what you hear because it's never good news. I get that. But maybe some days you just don't do that. And you listen to that podcast or that music or a book on tape that feels good, and you get out of your car in a better mood. And you walk around during the day and you take little breaks to get up and kind of stretch your legs and do a few squats. And you're just kind of feeling like that. You're less irritable, like I said, at work. So you're bothered less by the person sitting next to you. And you go about your day. And most days you do that such that your body and mind feel good most days. You look down and your body is fit and you have energy and you're able to be of service to the family that you love and your friends, and you're there for them and they're there for you, and you have energy and you're not pissed all the time and you're not irritable and angry, and you're in a good place and you're not as phased so much. What if that were the case for you? Does it seem impossible to you? Does it seem like that's job? Yeah, that sounds fan. That's a pie in the sky, Sid. That's an impossibility for me because I'm just so busy and I have so much to do. And when you really think about it, nothing I talked about is even more time than what you already spend time. Everybody goes down in the morning and makes breakfast. Everybody does that. Everybody takes a lunch break most days. I mean, I don't on Mondays because I just don't freaking eat all day until dinner, but that's just me. But what I talked about really wasn't any more time. It was replacing some of the time that you spend maybe doing things that are not life-affirming and positive and fun and enjoyable and inspirational, and you're replacing them with things that are. And you're doing that, and it's a one-to-one swap time-wise. It's not an additional amount of time. And this whole perception that to live healthy is a lot of time. It's a lot. It's so much. It's so expensive, and it just takes time. I just can't think about food. I don't have time to think about food that much. And maybe this podcast and others hopefully turn that on its head and go, yeah, it's totally accessible to everybody. This is not one thing that I pride myself on, if anything, is that I'm just pretty regular guy and I'm busy. Like I said, my family's busy. I got three kids. We don't have a nanny. Okay. We're doing it. And we're still making it work even in this context. That's why I crafted my book and this podcast was to appeal to people who are not into health in that way. Health is not a hobby to most of my listeners, I would say. They want to be healthy because they want to be able to do the things that they want to do, but they're not healthy because I'm into health, man. It's just what I do. It's just, I love health. I love talking about health. I love talking about food. You guys have families and job. Most people, there's no judgment for people who don't. I'm just saying, families, jobs, responsibilities, obligations, those things are happening. How do you do better with those still happening? That's why I do this every week. But that what if picture of you getting up in the times, the little slices of time during your day, you're nourishing most days. You're flooding your mind and body with things that make you freaking feel better. And what if that's weird to you right now? Well, there's the small steps window. There's the stuff you go, okay, well, let me just try that one day a week. I listen to something on the radio in the morning, not the news. Just one day a week. One day a week. And maybe later in the day you check the news. What if you miss something? But maybe just in the morning you don't. First thing in the morning, you don't flood yourself with negative stuff. Just maybe that one time. I'm throwing it out there. And I may make this a series because I think there's so much about living healthy and happy that seems out of our reach. I think it's the perception is that we look at people who go like, well, yeah, if I had a personal chef and I don't have a 9-to-5, they don't have a 9-to-5 office job. So of course they have time, and they may have time, but so does the person in the 9-to-5 office job. You have it. It's just, you don't maybe see it and you don't know how to carve that out for yourself because of the routines and habits you've gotten into over the years. You want to make cracks in that stuff. And that's what you're here for. I don't want you to change anything overnight. At all. Go to lunch with your coworkers at the same restaurant you go to all the time. But maybe in the afternoon you're snacking on some carrots and celery at your desk, because that's when you're going to take it for yourself. That's when you're going to be like, yeah, this is where I'm taking it right now. Okay, did that other thing, but now game on for me in this way. Dig? All right. This is part and parcel to getting into the subject of this week's episode, which is called Get It Out of Your Head. I referenced this in a video last week. I think it was the Just Be Yourself video. I'll touch on this, but go watch the video. But anyway, one of my pet peeves in movies is, like, especially 80s films, is when they go, the kids go into prom and they're all nervous and the parent goes, just be yourself. as if that's just the easiest thing to do. This guy commented. He goes, "Yeah, that's like you know, he had a couple other sayings that were totally like the same way as just be, like just relax is one of the ones. Yeah, just relax. Okay, super easy. Thanks. No problem there. And so anyway, just be yourself. And so I was kind of making a point about that just be yourself is so much easier said than done. We need to know who we are, and then we got to figure out ways to learn how to be that person, because who we are isn't in many cases how we've been living. It's how we've been living is more of a result of the things that were put into our heads when we were young and beaten into our heads over time with, and not necessarily in a bad way, but just period, with parents and everything else. And so we become that person, but that could be not really who we are. And the conflict of that is manifest sometimes in our physical bodies. We're just like, I'm not healthy, but I am in my mind. I know that I value health, and I know I see myself deep, 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 deep down as a healthy person, but man, I haven't been living that way. And so I gotta figure out how to get to that person. I gotta get it out from the deep, bring it up to the surface, and just make that be who I am in the world. And that, so that's what that is. To get it out of your head, I referenced in that video, the Just Be Yourself video, I was on my way home, and often, you guys probably know this about me, but oftentimes if I do eat at the end, this wasn't Friday, this was another night, if I do eat at the end, I call my wife and I go, listen, when I come home, Lisa, I don't want to eat. I don't tell her to tell me not to, but I just go, hey, I don't want to eat when I get home. And so usually if there's food on the counter that's left over, she'll just put it in the fridge, because that's a killer for me when I get home. If there's food like accessible, that can just, it's done. Good night, just done. One less dish to wash because I licked it fully clean. And so I'll usually call her. But on last Wednesday, what was interesting is on my way home, I didn't call her, even though I didn't really want, I was on the fence. And so I was swirling in my brain of like, well, I kind of don't want to eat, but maybe it's, and all the mind chatter was like, well, you've been running more. Not, are you actually hungry? That was the last question I asked, which is so super funny. In my mind, I was like, it was the justifications. It's fine to eat. You're running more. You're doing the Wim Hof thing. You're doing yoga. It's fine to eat, all this kind of stuff, but I don't really want it. But yes, you did, but it's okay if you do, but I don't really. And so I didn't call her. By the time I got into the house, I then made the statement out loud. And I said, I don't want to eat any food. And she goes, good, fine, got it. And she, by the way, she does that for me too. Like, I don't want, don't let me do that. She'll be like, don't let me do an 8-ball of Coke. That's like a her go-to. But mine is like, don't let me eat another freaking, you know, wonton. Like that, we're different people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. And so... So I asked her out loud. And what I realized was getting the statement out of my head, that was the me of it. It all the swirling of chatter in my brain that sounds like me because it's my voice, but all of that conflicting, like, it's okay, you're fine, you're running, you're doing all the things I mentioned. But then this other side, which is like, but I don't really want to eat. And sometimes we go like, I don't really, in the moment, you're like, it's a lot of, in addition to all the responsibilities and obligations of our lives, right? It's just, it's so much stuff going on for ourselves. I really want it to be simplified. And here's one thing that I recommend. Have an outlet, whether that's a partner or spouse that you feel comfortable voicing things to, or this is why I'm such a freaking journal nut, because I love journaling. Why? Because it gets it out of your head. And oftentimes the thing that comes out of your head is the you. And when I made that statement to Lisa, I realized as I said it, that it was the truth, that I did not want to eat. That's actually the truth. It sounded in my brain. I could have easily justified in my head. I mean, in a freaking split second doing that. I mean, no problem. Eating when I got home. I would have regretted it afterwards, that I know, because I wasn't actually hungry. And when I said, I don't want to eat anything, as the moment I said it, one of my favorite movies of all times, favorite, literally top five, is The Royal Tenenbaums. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie. Probably most of you have. There's a one point where Gene Hackman's character says something like, and I'm just going to brutalize this because I wasn't planning on talking about this, but he makes a statement like, this last 6 months with you has been the best 6 months of my life. And the narrator, who I think is Alec Baldwin, is excellent. He goes, just after he said it, Royal realized it was true. And I love the brilliance of that writing. But he makes this statement, not knowing if it's true, but once he says it, he realizes that it is. And the impact of that in his own mind is brilliant. And that's essentially what happened in potentially what would be the worst movie ever, which is me walking into my house and going, I don't want to eat. Is it a little like Royal Tenenbaums? Sure. And so, you know, one of the Wilson boys can play me in the movie of me. But anyway, so I said, I don't want to eat. And when I said it, I realized, yeah, that's the thing. And oftentimes when I journal, when I write, of all the mind chatter that is in all of our heads, because it is, the thing that comes through my pen onto the paper, that's the stuff. That's the thing. I have clients all the time go, why journaling? Like, what? I had a client one time, she's like, I don't really like journaling. It's like, okay, because we have ideas of what journaling is. And sometimes we think of just documenting our diary of a day, you know, just like I did this and I did this and I did. But journaling is the thing that I see in many cases of parsing out of all the chatter. You reach in and you pull threads, just, okay, that. And now, okay, that. Yeah, of all the 15 billion things I just heard, these five things, that's the me. It all sounds like me, but that's the actual me. And what comes out on that page or what comes out of your mouth is the, it's like winner and still champion. Of all that crazy stuff, I was able to just get to me, thank goodness, because man, that was overwhelming. And the simplicity of telling my wife that made my night way better. And because I didn't regret anything, because I woke up the next morning feeling a lot better physically, because I definitely know what it feels like when I eat late, the next morning I do not feel as good and my runs are never as good that way. And so I had finished eating by 6:30 and I didn't want to eat anymore when I walked in the door at 8:30 or 9. And I just didn't want it. I knew it once I said it. It's this weird thing. So it's that mind chatter, how to get through that. Meditation, obviously, for many people is sort of watching that mind chatter and letting that, just being a witness to it. And that's all fine. What I'm talking, and I'm not really talking about that here. What I'm talking about is action in your life is today, the you, getting to know the you of this thing. And sometimes it's not so easy. And I understand that because it's the same with me. It's not so easy at every moment. But sometimes if you can get it out of your head, you'll realize, oh yeah, no problem. I know exactly the me of this. If you keep it in your head, it's just one of a thousand things going on there. And the alternative, of course, is if you just said all the things in your head, that's what we call being a crazy person, because they would just, if I had voiced what was in my head when I walked in the door, Lisa would commit me to a freaking insane asylum, because it would have been like, I don't really need him. I really like him, but I don't really want him. How do I run? I'm expending more energy. There's no really real reason. She'd be like, holy crap, daddy's gone. Bye-bye, kids. It's time to take him to the fun house. And I don't mean in a good way. The steps list. Journaling. These are physical, saying the words out loud. These are physical manifestations of you in the world, and they are useful tools to help you remember who you are. And when you just get it out of your head, that's when the truths happen. Psychotherapy is based on that thing. That's why you talk. The psychotherapist doesn't sit there and go, yeah, just think about this stuff while I sit here. It's just mull it over in your brain with all 80 other things. They ask you questions. They want to get to potentially truths for you. The common knowledge in my brain, who said this, and I've said it a thousand times, but I didn't originate it, is therapy is only as good as the person who's getting the therapy. It's not. Yes, the therapist has to be good, but if the person walks in the door not wanting to be in therapy, it will go nowhere. I can't be successful with a client who comes to me who doesn't want to live a better life. It's a zero. I could be the best health coach in the entire universe, and I couldn't help a single person if they didn't want to be helped. So it is dependent on you being able to express what is in your head in an external way, even if it's just external to you, like on a piece of paper or saying it out loud or a steps list or something like that. Oftentimes with clients, I'll have them say what I call like an I am statement. So for this week, try that. In fact, right now, give it a shot. In your car, on your treadmill, in that 530i BMW, which I love. If you want to donate to the podcast, go to SidGarzaHillman.com. Say, make an I am statement. And maybe make it, if you can, for fun, just for fun, totally protected, you guys are good. Make it an I am statement that is truly what you want to be doing, but you're not actually doing it. So for the sake of argument, let's say you're overweight, and but in your head, you're not. And so in your head, you're at a healthy weight. And in your first task, you would say, I'm at a healthy weight. So your I am statement is simply, I am at a healthy weight. Or you work a job as a lawyer and you always wanted to be a truck driver. So you're working as a lawyer, but you say, I am a truck driver, because that's your ideal life. Some of you got roped into being a lawyer because your parents expected that of you. And all of a sudden now you're freaking practicing law for 20 years and you're miserable and you want to drive a truck. I'm not saying you may ever drive a truck, but it's good to know, because maybe you can fill in other areas of your life that make you happier. You get the gist. But in the moment today, right now, make that I am statement. I am at a healthy weight. I am a truck driver. I eat healthy food most of the time, even though you don't at all, ever, maybe. I run ultra marathons, even though you've never gotten off your couch once to go for a run. Does it feel weird when you say that? In your head, why does it feel weird? Do you go, oh, it feels creepy for me to say I'm at a healthy weight. I look down and I'm 60 pounds overweight. It feels creepy and weird and inauthentic. You want to know why? Because it is you and you're not living that way. Why do you think it feels weird? You should be less concerned if you don't feel weird saying that. Let's just use the weight thing because it's just easy for me to use this as an example, okay? If you're overweight and you say, I am at a healthy weight, and that feels weird, you should be the happiest person in the world, because you know that there's conflict about it, because you now know that you're not the person you've been living in the world. That's amazing. Of course it feels weird. It would be less great at all if you said, I don't feel weird about this at all. Because you feel weird because there's conflict about it. If you don't feel weird about it, you think, that's just a BS statement. It's not real. If you feel creepy about it and weird about it and in conflict about it, you just got to know the you of that situation, the you in that scenario. And now you have a direction to go to via, ideally, small steps. You feel creepy and weird and inauthentic because in a way you realize that you're not actually living authentically. You have been living inauthentically to who you are. To live authentically means living based on you of this. Well, if you look down and you're 60 pounds overweight, you haven't been living authentically. You've heard me say, if you've been here 1,000 times, I'm not changing people. I'm getting people to who they are already. They're already there. You're already at a healthy weight. You are already at a healthy weight in terms of your value system and what you hold dear and true in your life. You haven't been living that way. That's why the conflict there. That's why that I am statement doesn't feel good. Thank goodness it doesn't, because that's why you're going to make a change over time. That's the kick in the ass that you're going to need and get and focus on to go like, yeah, I'm in conflict because this isn't who I am. Wow, good to know. How I've been living, not who I am. What I had for breakfast today, not who I am. Good to know. I don't want to stress myself out by changing overnight, but man, it's good to know that that's why I felt creepy saying that statement, because I have not been living authentically to who I am. But you got to get it out of your head. So when you make that statement, and I hope you make it out loud, that's what this process is. That's the truth of you. That's not anything that I can do for you. I don't write people's clients' first tasks. I don't write it. I guide them and say, here's how it's done, and here's examples that other people have done maybe, but I don't ever write it. I go just kind of, here's the project. You write it. And I make sure it's something that they feel good and true about. And they oftentimes, clients have a very hard time with that task. I mean a very hard time, because in writing it, they realize that they haven't been living that and how much they haven't been living that. And by the way, I've never had a client write a first task and it is equal to how they've been living in the world. Not once. My first task isn't anything about how I'm actually living in the world. It's directions to move to, and it's a good thing to know. And that way we go, good to know. And now I can get moving on it and actually do something about it. And I can create that what if scenario that looks a little bit more like me over time. And that's how I do it. And I can only do that by getting that out of my head, by getting it onto a page, getting it to a partner or friend, getting it onto a steps list. That's how it is. Get it out of your head. That's how you separate the crap from the good stuff. Got it? It feels crappy to say that stuff, because it is. It's crappy to not feel like you're living based on you. It doesn't feel good. We want to shut that off and go, I don't want to think about that. It's too painful. And I get it. That's why we ease our way in, because I do think at the end of the day, you will be way happier at the end of the day than you are squashing that stuff down and putting that conflict in an area that you don't want to deal with ever. I do believe that to be true. And that's why I come here every week to help you guys in that regard. All right? All right, you guys. Get it out of your head this week, will you? Will you get it out of your head? I am going to sign off, and I'm going to mention one more thing, and this is kind of makes me sad, and so I'm just going to, I just want to end on a bad note. A buddy of mine from high school, who was a good friend of mine in high school, we lost touch a little bit, but we would sort of Facebook, I guess Facebook has some sort of usefulness in this regard. Jeff Tipaneros was his name, and he passed away. He's my age. Breaks my heart, you guys. He's 46 years old, passed away. He's got four kids and a wife. In Kingwood, Texas is where I went to high school there, and that's when I knew him, and he was one of my closest friends in high school, and had some health problems. I don't want to get into the details of that. You know, I'm going to get into the trite reality of this, which is that I'm 47 years old, and there are people dying at my age of health-related issues. It's not a joke. It's part of the reason why I am passionate about helping people live healthier and happier. And it's when it touches home, it's, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, it's kind of blew my mind. And so anyway, I'm going to dedicate this podcast episode to Mr. Jeff Tipanero, and he will be missed. So use that knowledge to treat yourself well this week, for crying out loud, will you? Can you take care of yourself and do well by you, so that you can do well by others and live a life that makes you happy. All right, you guys? All right. If you have any thing you want to email me, you do that. You go to podcast@sidgarzahillman.com and you shoot me an email. I just got a really nice one from a guy in England, and it makes my day, and it makes me happy to hear those things, and it keeps me definitely 100% coming back here every week and doing the videos and the things that I do. All right, you guys are awesome, and I really appreciate your support. I'll be back next week, okay? And in the meantime, be well.
She straightened up and repeated a story to me. That I have been lost, I have been lost. Her one sweater was as worn out as she. But it looked like all that she needed. Said you are sitting in this world. She said you are getting along. She said you have known a sense of things. But the look on my face couldn't have told her all that. Definitely hadn't figured that out for myself. Then a sweet face of a quiet reckoning. Was there before me, silent and sad, but for a simple dignity. said you are sitting in this world. She said you are getting along. She said you have known a sense of things. But the look on my face couldn't have told her all that happened.